reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. When I served as a music director for various parishes in the Chicago Archdiocese, one of the hymns that I was chided for liking was "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." I guess for some it wasn't high church elegant liturgy enough, or maybe it wasn't the latest melody, or perhaps it was a bit too quaint sounding. But for me, the words were really what sold it. "And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." How can you beat that? To declare that, yes, our actions, our love, will make others recognize us as Christians. What's quaint about that? Isn't that profound? "And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." It's a beautiful melody, isn't it? And it's an even more lovely prayer. It's the desire that Jesus gives us in our gospel today. Love one another just as I have loved you. Love one another just as I have loved you. This isn't even love your neighbor as yourself, although Jesus did tell us that too. But no, here he tells us to love others just as he loves. Maybe because we don't always love ourselves very well, do we? We can fill our heads with all sorts of negative self-talk, like, "Oh, I'm so forgetful," or, "Oh, I'm really getting fat," or, "I'm just not good enough to do that," or, "I wish I was as smart or as good as he or she is." We can tell ourselves these kind of things, don't we? I know that I can fall victim to this kind of negative head chatter. You think that Jesus knew this when he said, "I give you a new commandment"? You think he knows that we don't always love ourselves like we should? So Jesus ups the ante, if you will. We're told to love as Jesus loves us. Yep, that's right. We are to love as Jesus loves us. The setting of today's gospel takes place on the Thursday right before Good Friday. Jesus has just finished washing the feet of the disciples and gives this new commandment. Ever the consummate teacher, Jesus has his students, the disciples, experience his love and his service before being asked to go and do the same. Love, not as we love, but love as he loves. Jesus kneels in the dust, and he washes all the filth you can imagine off the feet of the disciples who have been walking through who knows what. This action is a parable enacted, the way of showing what the entire life of Jesus means and will always mean. That there is not one part of us, not a part of our bodies or our souls or our misspent past, not a part of our secret thoughts or fearful longings. There is no part of us at all Christ doesn't kneel before and embrace and love. Jesus comes before us, warts and all, cups our chin, raises it, and looks into our eyes and hearts with deep and profound love. Close your eyes for just a minute and imagine the scene. Rest in the comfort of his love. Can you feel it? And now Jesus says to each of us, to you and to me, to love everyone we meet with that same kind of love, that same outpouring, self-giving love that we first experienced from our consummate master teacher, Jesus. What will happen when we allow our hearts to break open and to be inspired with the terrifying truth that God loves us and accepts every inch of us just as we are, that there's no part of us so unsightly or reprehensible that God cannot love back to life? What's going to happen? We have no choice but to act or react. We have no choice but to proclaim that truth, to make it known to anyone and everyone who thinks that they have something terrible to hide. Christ's love for us compels us to confront the world with the truth of God's radical, foolish love for people, especially those people whom the world would just rather forget. And then inflamed with the love of God through Christ, we have no choice but to proclaim the gospel, to love ourselves and to love others as Christ loves us. And then we will stop seeing others as pantry clients or people we work with or go to school with or even family members or community members, fellow parishioners. But we'll see them as those fully beloved of Christ. And we will love them, cherish them as Christ cherishes them. And then people will know. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our